Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. Liverpool are back on top and all the barns were burned at the bridge. It's Friday, 5th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday. What a fabulous Friday it is, Luke Moore. When you have a Thursday night treat like that, bloody Nora.
Inject us all with the midweek Barclays every week and all these problems in this country will be solved.
Do you know what, right? People go on about there's too much. There's not enough football, Jim Campbell.
If this is what it leads to, if these knackered players who have just got no interest in defending put on displays like that, I agree. Let's have more of it.
Exactly.
This is why we're here, isn't it?
This is, tell you something. This is why we're here.
Yeah.
Jim, my goodness. Before, though, we get to all that, another reason why people are here is because of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. If you want more of us.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Then do sign up for our Patreon for as little as $5 a month. I feel that I've not sold that very well. People are thinking, hang on a minute, But no, you can get involved. You'll get ad-free episodes of The Ramble, OTC and Upfront, as well as an extended version of every Wednesday Ramble and access to our Discord server. And on the Discord this week, listeners have been rating their favourite old-school football games, Premier Manager and Sensible World of Soccer included, the latter I bloody loved personally, and football podcasts saying clickbaity stuff for the clout. Wouldn't get us doing that.
No, absolutely. I would actually
not
say,
anymore.
I would add, I'm a very active Discorder on the Ramble Patreon. And it probably, it was the best place to be when that game was on last night.
Oh my goodness.
It was great to second screen it with all the people on the Discord while watching the game.
Yeah.
It was an incredible experience.
It was.
Well worth getting involved.
Patreon.com/footballramble to sign up for just $5 a month. Now, Chelsea 4, Manchester United 3. For perhaps the wrong reasons, one of the great games of our time, Jim. Now, we said on the Ramble React, I thought, you know, well, actually, I think we said to give full context of all of our thoughts on this game on Wednesday. I think, Luke, you said the tagline from Alien versus Predator, whatever happens here, we lose because it could be a load of old shit, that game.
Yeah.
And then I had a change of heart on Ramble React and said, do you know what? It could be like so bad that it ends up being like really watchable and good. Mm. And I suppose, without taking away the individual qualities and so on, ultimately, because both of those teams are horrendously disorganised and open, Jim, it was fantastic viewing.
Absolutely. It had everything for the neutral because, you know, back in the day where these two teams might have had a ding-dong towards the top of the table, you might strongly feel about one or even both of these teams that you don't want them to win the league. That's not at play here.
It's
not an issue, is it? You
can
really, really enjoy it as a neutral. And it was so, so entertaining. And just the flaws in both teams made for such a brilliant spectacle. I think it's funny, isn't it? In the first 20 and the last 2 minutes, I think you saw what Chelsea's meant to be.
Like, you get the understanding of what it's supposed to be.
Because
like,
in that first 20 minutes, they were electric. They actually played really, really well. And I couldn't believe that they had lost this game. And then they went and won it again.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that will get lost in the chaos of this, because it was so much fun, is how avoidable both of those penalties were for Man United. They have been proper architects of their own downfall there. Obviously, like being so switched off for Cole Palmer's winner at the end is the headline, but they made it so unnecessarily hard for themselves at times. I'm glad they did because it meant the game was brilliant.
It was like two teams fighting to be the first to set their own barn on fire. That's basically what it was like. Yeah. The barns are only identifiable by their dental records this morning. Let's be absolutely clear about that. Mm. It is absolutely...
Yeah.
It's just devastation everywhere.
Absolutely.
Right? And there was an amazing kind of passage where... Chelsea were dragged like kicking and screaming into like a 2-goal lead by Cole Palmer. I know they played quite well, but Cole Palmer is the standout.
Gallagher, I mentioned.
Gallagher was busy. And, yeah, he obviously scored the first goal. And then Rafa Varane gets injured and can't really move. But Erik ten Hag, also incompetent, decides not to sub him off. Thinks he'll get through the half time without it.
So
instead of pressing the advantage home, by basically taking advantage of the idea that Man United have only got one fit centre-back, Moses Caicedo gifts Chelsea a goal. Mm. Then Chelsea let United score again.
Yep.
And the camera cuts to Cole Palmer, who looks like the only sane guy at like a Trump rally. Like, he has no idea what's going on. And then somehow it's 2-2 at half-time. Mm. It was absolutely breathtaking.
Well, and Chelsea had a good chance to make it 3-0, which one may forget. And I'm so glad they didn't take it. Because at 3-0, you know, surely we wouldn't have this.
Well, who knows?
But it was the perfect game, though, wasn't it? To follow up on what it actually is a hugely exciting evening for all of us.
Yeah.
But it's a perfect game to sum up why both teams are where they are.
Totally.
Because there's no control whatsoever in what's going on, isn't there?
I mean, look, Pochettino said, didn't he, that if you read into the data, they should be challenged for top four. Well, it's a huge win for them because that moves them into the top half of the table.
Mm. If you read into the data based on last night, Pochettino should be arrested.
Yeah.
Let alone put Chelsea in
exactly.
Fourth.
I mean, they move level on points with Brighton with that win.
Yeah.
You know, when you word
that's
it like
the,
this,
that's the context.
They won the
Champions
League not that long ago. Obviously, Manchester United to Manchester United, you know. But, I mean, now, this is a stat and a half. This is since 2015-16, there have only been two Premier League matches with 47 or more shots. This game and Chelsea's previous game against Burnley on Saturday.
47 is quite an arbitrary cutoff, though, isn't it?
Well, that's what the BBC did.
Yeah, exactly. They're just making it sound better.
But I think the fact is, though, is that like it's funny how open that they've been and how trigger happy they've been at the other end as well. I mean, Manchester United, we know that they've faced, I think, isn't it more shots than any other team in Europe's top five leagues this season or something like that? You know, it's absolutely crazy, which shows you just how disorganised that midfield is. And again, you'll think, well, how's he taking this opportunity? But I will. You've got to feel sorry for Harry Maguire. People slagging him off. He's got nothing in front of him to protect him.
Some of the faces he was putting. Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's a busy boy.
He nearly scored as well. He had a gallop up the other end. And
it is a gallop as well, isn't
it? Yeah, it is a proper
gallop.
It's
like a proper gallop he's got going on.
Yeah. Turning circle that is quite worrying, but but still.
Turning circle of like an eccentric farmer doing a crop circle.
In front of four people, aliens have turned up.
Yeah. But I belong in the international setup.
Yeah. Unidentified defending object in the England squad.
Oi!
No,
I'm with respect.
But it's a gallop. It's a total gallop.
It is a gallop. We can all agree on that. Yeah. Manchester United, we're going to all have to agree on this, are one of the most entertaining teams in the league.
Unless you're a Man United fan.
Box office, yeah. Well, you know what? I think people are starting to get on board with Ten Hag's methods, despite how mad this was. Because if you looked at the... You can often tell...
neutrals.
But I think Man United fans, because you can often tell when a manager is starting to sort of, you know... be a part of the culture in a way where you just see it in the way some fans dress. And if you looked at the away end, there were a lot of despondent middle-aged bald men. And I think that influence is starting to show.
Is that including Erik ten Hag?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But you know that when they had that kind of life and death, kind of dramatic, you know, Fergie time stuff, they were regularly top of the league when it was happening.
Yeah.
Not 22 points off the top of the league, which makes it different. And what I would say to Chelsea is watch out because it looks like you might have interrupted Ten Hag's process.
Well, indeed. He said before the game, we're in a good way, a good direction, and we need to make the next steps. Don't interrupt this process. He's talking directly to the players here.
Yeah. No, he was talking to I think the question he was asked was about like Jim Ratcliffe and Ineos.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, the idea
I think
of
they need an interruption.
Sitting in his office, his boss tries to come in. Do not interrupt this process.
It's not an interruption. It's an intervention.
It is an intervention.
One of the highlights for me was when Cole Palmer is lining up to take the penalty to make it 3-3, and he obviously, as he always starts, looks absolutely ice cold,
goodness.
Completely nerveless. And not only looked like he was chewing his gloves with sort of nerves.
Yeah.
It was almost cartoonish how much he looked like he just had no confidence, how much he knew Palmer was going to score.
Yeah, I mean...
Unless there's some sort of routine I'm missing there.
Well, I'm intrigued by the way
Palmer takes penalties, because he doesn't do what Ivan Toney does, or at least, or if he does, he does it very quickly.
Toney waits for the keeper to move, right?
Yeah, which a lot of people do, and yeah. You can kind of see that with the way a lot of people take penalties. Palmer seems to have a place or a spot and then stick it there. Yet he always seems to send the goalkeeper the wrong way.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, perhaps maybe he's just got lucky that a keeper will guess
but
and will.
What they're very good at, though, top level players that take penalties, they're good at perceiving the weight balance of the goalkeeper. Yeah. So it may well be that it's imperceptible to us watching on telly.
Yeah, I mean,
he may have seen where the keeper's made a choice already.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, and it'll be interesting to see if he comes up against a goalkeeper who has managed to fool penalty takers and can do that. Because some goalkeepers, you see, they shift their weight in the last second and try and do it. But I mean, yes, I mean, his little celebration where he rubs his upper arms to suggest that he is indeed
cold.
Ice cold.
I like it.
Cold Palmer.
Yeah, I like it.
Jules really had to work at full time, didn't she, to get some conversation.
He just hood up, wants to go down the shop.
His I don't know, what would you call it, perhaps temperament or whatever, I think will serve him very, very well.
Massively.
Because he seems to be kind of unaware of
he's not bothered by it.
And that's it. But no, it doesn't come across as arrogant.
No, I'm trying to think of a very, very sensitive way of saying that he might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, and that really helps him because he's got football intelligence and amazing athletic ability and amazing technique.
And that's his job.
But yeah, absolutely. And he's brilliant at that and he deserves all the credit in the world. But I don't think he's someone who, you know, the weight of the world troubles him.
Well, and hence it'll serve him very, very well.
Did you hear what he said about penalties? He was talking about how many penalties he scored this season and people sort of regularly mentioning that. And he said something along the lines of like, well, it's a penalty, I'm not going to miss, am I? He doesn't know that you can miss, which is ideal.
Mind you, I mean, Mario Balotelli had a bit of that as well before, but he did miss one or two.
You have to start looking now at the numbers that Palmer is posting and the way he is... You know, genuinely dragging a Chelsea team who have got their own problems through so many different games. And, you know, a lot of people will have a lot to say about Chelsea's historic size of club, but they are a big player in the Premier League, you know, and they're getting a lot of attention on them. And the reason there's so many stories around them is because they've been doing quite badly. And if you're not a big club, the attention doesn't go on you for that. It's just business as usual. He's doing it with the spotlight on him to a level that... Really, I mean, with the exception of probably Foden, there isn't anyone else in the Premier League of his age doing anything like that. I know he's a bit younger than Foden, but he's a very youngish player.
Yeah.
I saw this morning, I think TNT Sports posted something saying that he's now this season been involved in more goal involvements than Haaland.
Wow.
You know, so
Haaland was out for a bit.
He was, but I mean, still. Even so, the numbers are astronomical normally when it comes to Haaland. I mean, Palmer's contributed more on paper. So that you, I think you've got to see he's going to be very, very hard done by if he doesn't make that Euro squad.
Oh, absolutely. But who, okay, so we are...
I'm not going to do that. I'm not answering that question because we're not having that debate today.
Yeah, okay.
We're not doing the English squad. Who's going to come out? I'm just saying Palmer's doing everything he can.
Yeah. Right, that's the way. You've changed your tune slightly there and to a better tune, may I say.
I'll do what I want.
So I think actually, you know, obviously this season for Chelsea is a very complicated one. But I think in terms of Palmer's personal development, perhaps there's an argument that this is the best place he could possibly be because he's had to become a leader and has stepped into that role so, so quickly and to the point where nobody can look at him and question whether he has the credentials to do that. And surely that's going to stand him in good stead further down the line.
I don't think there's any danger of him getting loaned out to Vitesse or something.
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Shout out to Anthony's, the outside of Anthony's left foot.
Did you enjoy
amazing.
That?
Oh, what a pass.
I mean, you've never doubted him, have you? So it's nice to put the naysayers in their place there.
I do. Look, let me. Marcus isn't going to let me get away with this, but let me try. Mm. Let me try.
Should he be in the England squad?
Are you going to leave out
Saka?
He used the outside of his left foot for an amazingly brilliant pass.
Enjoy his butt.
Point number one. But he did do that pass rather than get his like lamppost Doc Martin breeze block golf club of a right foot out the bag.
Unbelievable.
When he could have just bent it with his right foot, but he can't because he's like the most one-footed player in the league.
He didn't say that about Lukaku's lovely pass to Tielemans at Wembley the other night, or Luka Modric's lovely one. The two, was it which I forget? Wasn't Vinicius Junior? I forget which Real Madrid player it was.
You want to think about those three players? Yeah,
you want to compare Anthony to Luka Modric?
I want to compare those specific passes.
But Luka Modric is nowhere near as one-footed as Anthony.
I want to compare those specific passes.
It was a great pass.
Thank you.
It was a fantastic pass. Yeah,
better. I mean, Garnacho had a brilliant game as well. He's so much fun to watch. So much to enjoy here and so much that isn't going to be forgotten because...
I actually think he's been good. Garnacho, I think he's actually been decent.
Oh, he's been a shining light for United in their season. He's been brilliant, yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
What a game, though.
Nice to see Mason Mount come on, though.
He got a load of treatment, didn't he?
Yeah, there was not really that surprising, is it? Modern football fans?
Yeah, I suppose
so. As Ali McCoist was hinting at.
I thought he was going to explode.
Oh.
Or at least float off or something.
He makes me feel like I'm on holiday. Like he's a lovely older fella that I've met down the pool or at the bar. Let's be honest, both.
But you're the only English speaker there.
You've
met a fellow English speaker, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can talk to someone, and you're like, oh, but this is a good one.
Wonderful company.
Of course, he'll be down the swim-up bar every single day.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. Him and Peter Reid would get on famously, I think.
I think that Coisty, for some reason, on paper, it should annoy me. Because he goes way over the top.
He charms you.
But it doesn't annoy me.
He's charmed you.
Yeah, he's a charmer.
That's what he does. The scenes of celebration at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Was there any celebration police out last night?
Was your key to sports annoyed or was he all right?
Well, I didn't check because
I'll check it now.
Don't want to blight my life with him.
Mm. I think it might have got lost amongst all the fury because the word sack was trending and depending on what time the tweets were made, they were talking about different managers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love the fact as well that when Pochettino was celebrating, like it did cast my mind back to Spurs beating Ajax that time going through against Ajax. And they did beat them on the night, I suppose. And then I thought to myself, Ten Hag was the manager of Ajax that night as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Mm.
So he's done his hard yards. Richard Keys hasn't posted it. Sadly, there's no live, real-time Richard Keys update because he's not posted anything about the game last night, really.
Should they celebrate going 10th in the Premier League?
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's about celebrating a fantastic win.
Absolutely. And let's not forget the lemons. Yeah, exactly. They are really starting to work.
He zested those lemons last night.
He absolutely zested
them.
At a particular moment, yes.
Yeah.
He's like, we need a little bit more here.
He was. I tell you, what was funny as well is after the game when, TNT do a thing which I quite like where they follow the manager coming out of the tunnel for the post-match interview, which they do on the side of the pitch with the broadcast team last night. It was Cole, Rio Ferdinand, Lindsay Hipgrave. At one point during the game, Rio came on, didn't he, and predicted that United were miles away from getting back into the game, and they literally scored 2 in 4 minutes. It's like, it's funny.
He got the last laugh in his own way.
When Pochettino came out, they followed him coming out. He was absolutely raring to go.
Yeah,
he was raring to go.
It's good to see him.
He's taken a lot of stick, hasn't he?
Fair enough. An incredible game. Elsewhere last night, of course, Liverpool beat Sheffield United 3-1. They stay top of the table, 2 points ahead of Arsenal.
Yeah, I sat down for this thinking Liverpool are going to batter Sheffield United.
It's a voucher. It's a Sheffield United at home voucher.
I'm just going to enjoy the display that Liverpool put on. Then Sheffield United miss a sitter early on.
They had two really good chances.
Give Liverpool a goal.
Yeah.
Get back into it and still fuck it up. It's like, Nunez. You've even taken the enjoyment away from me.
Yeah.
Nunez scored with his Buffmans.
He did.
With his perineum.
Yeah, with his gooch.
Yeah.
Did we miss a period where he played for Atletico Madrid? He's the most Atletico Madrid player who's ever lived.
Yeah.
He's either going there or we've all forgotten about him.
No, I think
like the Mandela effect.
He's too hectic, I think. I think he would annoy Simeone.
Oh, yeah.
He's not disciplined enough.
But I think
he's got the energy and work rate, but I think it's just too, it's dare I say, too entertaining.
And also,
Simeone's like, no, I don't want any of that.
Nunez is also a proper cannon. With Simeone, it's not that they have to work hard and be really disciplined. They also kind of can't really be that mental.
Yeah, I mean, he's
the mental one.
Yeah, I take the point of a very energetic and at times industrious Uruguayan forward. Mm. You know, you would think it would work, but maybe in a few years, perhaps. I don't know.
But the game, I mean, because obviously the way these kickoffs were staggered last night, it was a great night at Barclays. And the first minute or so, because you got to watch the first half an hour before the Chelsea Man United game even kicked off. The first minute or so, Sheffield United had two really good chances. The first one was the better one. But there was one, I forget which player it fell to now, but it was almost like he was in real time. This can't be happening at Anfield.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way I'll get a chance at Anfield. And it was about 25 seconds in. Mm. I think if they had been involved in a bit of tit for tat and they started to grow a bit in confidence and that chance came about 20 minutes in, he probably scores that, you know, and it would have still ended 3-1, of course.
Absolutely.
but the goal that was gifted to... I mean, I say gifted, but it makes it sound like Nunez didn't really earn it.
He knew what he was doing.
It's a great example of why, as a forward, you've always got to do your doggies.
Oh, yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen. It comes, bounces right off your Buffman's bridge, straight into the net.
Because obviously Haaland did that earlier in the season as well, so it's a little bit of a
all the best
shot fired there, isn't
all
it?
All the best forwards do it. All the best forwards do it.
They definitely do. Liverpool had 84% possession in that first half, which shows
they
you...
They had 83% overall.
But you know what, though, with this Liverpool side, there have been moments in the season where they have a lot of possession, but they did labour a little bit in that second half to break Sheffield United down. And actually, they didn't really, in a classic way, break them down at all. It was an absolute peach from McAllister.
Yeah. Who's also been good, by the way.
Yeah. I think, though, there's a little bit of a parallel with how Arsenal played against Luton the other night, which is essentially just kind of play a little bit in second gear. Don't knack yourself
ahead of
the
weekend. Arsenal were 2-0 up at
half-time. Yeah, I know. But
whereas Liverpool, you know, I was watching it with a couple of mates who were Liverpool fans, and they were actually quite nervy. Yeah. And I was sitting there saying, lads, you'll be fine, don't worry.
Well, indeed, like how fans think about things isn't always necessarily a representation of what's going on the pitch, right, in terms of how calm the players are. I think Liverpool knew they would always have enough to win that game, so that's... Yeah. Probably why they weren't sort of like, you know, flying out of the blocks.
Sure.
Klopp said before the game that like thinking about goal difference would have been the wrong attitude, and that's how you end up making mistakes, and you know, things maybe go against you when you don't expect them to. So I think it was a really just controlled and mature display, because they've got a big game at the weekend and they probably want to save all the goals for that.
Yeah, very true. And also, and
they lost the last time they played United.
They did. I mean, look, and also as well, by the way, don't hear me right. I'm not saying, well, you know, they scored a long range effort, therefore it doesn't count, sure, or you take anything away. You sign the best players, and they and so, you know, players are rated very highly because they can produce individual moments as well. So, you know, we don't say that if Kevin De Bruyne stuffs one in the top corner for Manchester City.
I think McAllister deserves credit not only for that goal, but the way he's carried
himself. One of the best midfield players in the league. In fact, you could even say one of the best players. You know,
he's conducted himself so well, given that he's gone from, you know, a club who've done really well, but really arguably punching above their weight, to a really big super club in a time of transition. To also have to handle the fact the manager has been there for ages, is going to leave, and play in such a key position on the pitch.
Yeah.
I think he's
doesn't look phased.
Deserves a huge amount of credit for that, actually.
Yeah. Also, McAllister is a player who he has long ranges in his locker.
He does.
It's one of his
one against
kind
Fulham.
Of, it's one of his superpowers almost, and that is to be enjoyed, because I feel like we don't see goals like that so much anymore, because the game's a bit more you know, clipped and a bit more sort of formulaic to some degree with how certain managers play in their styles, and more long range, please.
And I think on the Sheffield United side of it, I mean, because, you know, I have to mention them, because they, in the words of the great Alan Pardew, they played their part.
They did.
It's very difficult to know how they would have approached that game last night, because they're going to be relegated. It's, you know, it's on paper, it's a really, really tough game in a really busy season, midweek, when you play again, you know, you play either side of it at the weekend, and et cetera, et cetera. And I actually thought, based on, and you guys have kind of alluded to it there in your chat there, that they kind of acquitted themselves pretty well. I do think sometimes I look at a couple of the players they got. I think they are actually decent players, but it's just they've found it so tough this season that, I mean, the music stopped now really for them. They're just going through the motions.
But when you say they have a few decent players, they don't have a better squad than, let's take the ones that, you know, I wouldn't even thought Palace would get dragged into it, but they don't have a better squad than Brentford, Everton, or Forest. It's as simple as that.
Mm. I agree.
And you know, they're 10 points from safety. Okay, they have a game in hand, and Forest. You know, there's the whole points deductions thing, and so I mean,
let me put a final point on it. Then I think when you look at some of their players, I think Ben Brereton Diaz is a top flight standard player.
He's only come in recently.
Fine, but he's been good.
Yeah,
he's been decent.
Yeah.
Gustavo Hamer's a good player.
Yeah.
I think Vinicius Souza's a good player as well. I think he's had a good season. I think McBurney's acquitted himself pretty well. I mean, it's a meagre goal return, really, but he has scored, he has contributed.
But I mean, it's slim pickings compared to some of the other sides. You know, there's a reason.
I think
why
McAtee's a good young player too.
Yeah, I mean, look, and if they keep hold of all these players, then they'll be absolutely fine in the Championship next season. Like, I mean, that's the reality of it.
But they are
so many points adrift. They are hoping that Forest get a heavy points deduction. Let's be honest, they are. But they still have Brentford, Burnley, Forest and Everton to play. But when I say but, I mean, how many points are they going to pick up? Well, of course, I mean, if they were to get, I don't know, 9 points from all that or something like that, they'd
still be
know.
Relegated.
Yeah, well, it'd still be in the relegation zone, exactly. But I mean, it would give them a chance. But it's doubly disappointing for Sheffield United to see that Burnley are unbeaten in their last four. And we'll talk about Burnley in a bit, but when you see other sides putting in performances or just picking up the odd points sort of here and there, it can be sort of. Yeah. You know,
I quite strongly dislike Chris Wilder as well. So,
well, he said we are behind the black ball in a snooker. It is incredibly a difficult task. We just have to keep fighting.
It's a confused metaphor as well.
It is, yeah.
Because does he mean a snooker in snooker or a snooker in pool? Because if you're behind the black ball in snooker...
I assume he means snooker.
Well, then that's actually better than being behind, say, the yellow ball in snooker, because you've got far less chance of hitting the black ball and getting a seven-point deduction because you're right behind it. You're not
I assume
hit
he
it.
Means pool now.
I would say the eight ball then, just to not confuse it, if it were me.
Yeah, I would never call it the eight ball, personally.
It's British. Bloody British, through and through.
Yeah, but maybe I will do from now on.
I think you should just experiment with it for a month or so, see how you feel.
They do have Chelsea next. So
oh, that's good.
We might get some chaos there.
We'll definitely get some chaos,
but just what form it takes, we don't yet know.
Chelsea will win 6-4, and Cole Palmer will score two hat-tricks.
Yes.
And everyone else will look terrible.
We are looking forward to Man United-Liverpool on Sunday, though, are we not?
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, the last game they played, I know it was in the Cup, but was an absolute...
It was brilliant. And this will be the last time that Jurgen Klopp will face Manchester United.
Mm. Yeah, looking at that display and sort of how sloppy they were towards the end, you would think, like, Liverpool might get some quite satisfying revenge for that FA Cup exit. But that's the thing with this Man United. You never know, do you? Sometimes they pull out a quite good performance.
Yeah.
Or not necessarily what you might traditionally call a good performance, but like a sort of stubborn... And mature one.
Well, and they have moments of quality.
Yeah.
As we saw with Antony and as we've seen with Garnacho as well, that they can produce, but it's, I don't know.
But it
might be unlikely.
It seems to be, these games between these two teams tend to be either Man United give a great account of themselves and nick something, or Liverpool batter them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, last season, obviously, Liverpool beat them 7-0. That was absolutely glorious. Just because I have no beef with either team, really, but it's great to see a proper like car crash of a performance if you're in neutral,
especially from a huge team because it's so rare.
To make Man United feel better, Man United fans feel better. I enjoyed the 7-0 as much as I enjoyed the 8-2 over Arsenal. I mean, I've got no dog in the fight. I just enjoy seeing it. And then obviously Liverpool have won heavily at Old Trafford in recent years as well. So it could go that way. But at the same time, it could be an absolute stinker, like when they drew 0-0 at Anfield earlier in the season.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. Before we go into the second half, I want to bring up something completely different. People may have seen this, but we're going to go to Bolivia just for a brief moment. And I want to see this in the Premier League, although it may not be allowed. A fan in Bolivia was seen watching his team called The Strongest.
It's a brilliant name.
Yeah. They were playing Gremio, presumably in the Copa Libertadores or the other one.
Sudamericana.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this fan was spotted at the top of the stadium playing a guitar plugged into an amp.
Yeah.
Right
at the top as well. The altitude is already really high. It's got to the highest point in the stadium.
How about that?
The greatest thing about this video, I think, is you can't hear the guitar at all.
No.
It makes it... This story makes it sound like he's just getting stuck in and everyone's like vibing with the atmosphere. But no, he's on
There's
his
no
own.
No one around him.
No one anywhere near him.
Well, it's a huge stadium. And often those stadiums, particularly in South America, they're those sort of bowl-like stadiums and the seats.
And there's no roof.
They're not seats. They're just concrete benches, if you like. And so, you know, if you've got a stadium, which I don't know, 60,000 or something, but, you know, tickets are expensive and a lot of people can't afford them, and you've got, say, 30 or 40,000 in there, there's still quite a lot of room. Trust me, I've done it, Jim. But I never took my guitar.
No,
I thought to myself, oh, I missed a trick there.
Sneak in and have a little bit of guitar practice
in a stadium.
It's ambitious.
I love the fact that the amp's involved as well.
Yeah.
You could do your... He must have connected that to a power supply at the stadium somehow.
It's a flying V as well. It looks like he's playing some sort of Slayer-style thing.
Do you know what it's like? It's like the scene in Stranger Things with Eddie playing Master of Puppets.
Definitely.
That's basically what it's like. It's also a bit like in the same energy markers because there's no one around him and it's quite a dramatic scene.
Mm.
It's a bit like, if I may say so, it's a bit like the Blaze of Glory video.
Now you're talking.
Eh?
Yeah. Where he stood on the...
John Bond on the cliff.
Would that be Grand Canyon he is, maybe?
I think it's some kind of cliff and he's got an acoustic guitar, I think, from memory. I'd love... The only thing that would have bettered it for me would have been seeing you up there with the left hand of their guitar.
There you go.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, yeah, get me out there.
That'd be a great use of Ramble Funds.
One of the strongest next at home. It also reminded me of when I went to watch a game in the Maracanã, which is obviously massive, but there was only about 20,000 there, I think it was. And I've said this before, I'll say it again, damn it all. There was a couple of chaps dressed as superheroes, one very noticeably as Batman, and he was just charging about. There's nobody there. He was having a great time.
Is it a Fathers for Justice thing?
Oh, lovely reference.
Was it Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses? One for Donny then.
Dearie me. Lovely. All right, coming up in the second half, Everton versus Burnley. Neil Warnock is retiring again. And there's a Peruvian footballer named after an international terrorist. See you in a moment.
Human beings sometimes need to get punished.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Oh, we'll miss him.
Yeah.
And his punishment.
So German.
Ominous.
So German.
Ominous for Ten Hag at the weekend, that, isn't it?
And he's Dutch.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. Everton versus Burnley on Saturday. Burnley, as I said in the first half, unbeaten in the last four. Just 3 points all of a sudden behind Luton Town.
Yeah.
There is a chance, Jim.
For Burnley.
But the thing is, though, Luton Town haven't won a game for ages, and they just, what they do is they, what people are seduced into not realising is that Luton Town regularly go really close to winning games and then never win any of them.
I should also say that Luton are in the relegation zone as well.
Exactly, yeah.
But they're 6 points behind Forest. I mean, the goal difference is heavily in Forest's favour against Burnley, so it's still a tall order, but their recent form will give them a little bit of a flicker of hope.
But and the thing is, Luton always score. I mean, I know they didn't score the last time out, but they've been on an amazing run for a team of their level, scoring every game.
But what about Burnley?
They don't always score. Mm. And presumably Kompany's going to be banned from the touchline for this game.
He is, yeah. Yes.
So we'll miss out on seeing his dad, seeing the kids for the weekend.
Surely Everton have to basically get serious and just knuckle down and win this game. The home advantage is massive. Well, the thing is, I do think for Everton it should be as simple as that, because you know they've been so wasteful in front of goal.
They haven't won a game in the league this year.
No, but they've. It's not like they've not been making chances. All right, they didn't really create much against Newcastle.
You said they were shit on Wednesday.
They were shit, but yeah. Like prior to this, they've had that situation where they've like been underperforming their XG by loads. And obviously, you put as much stock as you want into XG or not. But the point is, they've been making chances and not finishing them off. Burnley at home, when they don't have Vincent Kompany in the dugout, you have to win that. You just have to.
The last
Jim,
time they won,
16th of December.
Last yeah, time against Burnley.
Yeah,
it was Burnley. Against Burnley at Turf.
There you go. Then yeah. What are you worried about?
Yeah. The form is there.
Jim, you still had a fair few windows in your calendar to still open the last time that won a Premier League game, which is extraordinary to think. But you're right. Dyche against Burnley, he's not going to lose, is he, surely?
I was absolutely stunned to hear on Reacts that Dyche isn't actually bald.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this was pointed out by friends of mine who are members of the bald community that it's fake, that it's like he shaves it. He's a literal bald fraud.
Yeah, because I Google imaged him and he's got a little tennis ball kind of cut going on. Mm. When he doesn't shave it regularly, he's got, so he's chosen to be bald.
Chosen the bald way.
Speaking of baldness and choosing it, did you see or hear what Pedri, obviously the Barcelona youngster, said this week, that he was asked to share a vision of himself in 10 years' time and said, at 31, I'll be still playing football, obviously, and maybe I'll be bald. I've always wanted to see myself bald. I don't know why.
It sounds like he's a Pep regen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, strange.
He could just shave his head, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could do.
Could do like Donaldson did. Donaldson used to do that, didn't he? Mm.
Did.
To show. Then we all got on his back so he couldn't grow his hair, so he grew it out.
Did we all do that?
I did that.
Yeah.
And then out of spite, he grew it back. But I also liked, by the way, going back to the Burnley side of the ledger, I liked that. That Vincent Kompany, when asked about his ban from the touchline, Vincent obviously said, "I'll never shy away from giving feedback to officials."
Yeah,
like it's through the appropriate channels
it's
or something.
It's not an effing penalty. I'm pretty sure he mailed.
I don't think you were filling a form in.
No,
Sandy, are you happy with the refereeing performance? Please put it in this little pigeonhole. He was screaming and swearing.
Yeah, giving feedback.
It's feedback.
Staying with Burnley, we were talking about Burnley actually on Ramble Uncut this week. More specifically, the Burnley blimp. We've been inundated, thankfully, with blimp updates.
We are very grateful for that, aren't we?
It's something that caught the Ramble public's imagination. I think it's fair to say. And we've got an email here, Jim Campbell.
We do, from Nate. He's emailed in to with the novel blimp related suggestion. He said, "Would it not make sense to have a blimp hover over every Premier League match?"
Makes sense.
Definitely makes sense.
Said blimp would be a highly qualified reserve. Sorry. In said blimp would be a highly qualified reserve referee. When the on-field referee makes an obvious error, a giant hand will descend from the blimp, grab said referee and replace them with the next highly qualified referee. This might be the new modern day VAR. So this, the blimp needs two hands for this, one to deposit a referee and one to extract Presumably they're going to be big white cartoon style gloves.
In my mind, they're like Mickey Mouse hands gloves. Can I just say, this might be the new modern day VAR. It's the most old fashioned suggestion I've ever heard. Yeah. There's nothing modern about this. A blimp and a mechanical hand. Yeah. It's like a 1920s suggestion. Mm. And also, can I please add to you, Nate, as well, if you've got a really highly qualified referee on the blimp, can we just hear from them? Yeah. Can they just do the game?
Well, that's right. And how much pressure would be on that referee to deliver? Yeah. Because you don't have another replacement. And also, what kind of person would you have to be to go, I'll sit in the... Yeah, I'll sign up for that job.
I also remember...
I think the referees might have a problem with this.
I remember a while back, and it was a while back, when someone tried to parachute in with the ball to start a game and they got stuck on the roof. Mm. It just feels like this had happened all
Wasn't
over
it Daniel
again.
Daniel Craig and the Queen?
That was something different.
It's James Bond and the Queen.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. It's a baffling suggestion, but keep them coming in.
Indeed. Before we talk about Neil Warnock, can I break with our Premier League chat for a moment, gentlemen? Because this Saturday at lunchtime sees a huge East Anglian derby.
The Old Farm derby.
The Old Farm derby, yes, exactly. Norwich and Ipswich in the Championship. Ipswich top of the table with six games to go. Norwich in sixth with Coventry just 4 points behind them. With a game more to play. So loads riding on this. Ipswich haven't beaten Norwich since 2009. It's a massive, long time.
Yeah, but did you see Ipswich last time out?
Yeah.
96-minute winner against Southampton. lovely.
I'm
pretty sure Colin Chaplin, who used to play for Portsmouth, got booked for celebrating that goal as well.
Unbelievable. And he's in the stand. Ipswich, it's a bit unfair that their only real mention on this show this season was, of course, when they got beat by Maidstone in the Cup. But they've had an amazing season despite that and could well be back in the Premier League next season, bearing in mind what that club has gone through recently. But surely they're going to beat Norwich this time round, are they?
Norwich have been okay, haven't they? They've done really well. They're fighting for the playoff positions themselves. Yeah. I just think it's Steve Bruce would say it's a tickly bum game because the last thing you want is a really fiercely competitive derby when you're a top of the league trying to get things done.
Or does it keep the focus?
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. Their record's poor against the Norwich, as you said. I mean, people of our age would probably love to see Ipswich back in the Prem, wouldn't they?
Would they?
I would. I think it'd be interesting.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Do you know what? I might have imagined
this. The David Wagner group coming up?
Well, it was more than one team who come up, mate.
That's
we can all enjoy ourselves.
Get them all up. That part of the country has been underrepresented in the Premier League.
There was a period of time when Portsmouth and Ipswich were in the same division, the second tier, and it feels like, in my mind, every other week Ipswich were coming to Fratton Park and Marcus Stewart was scoring like a hat-trick against us and stuff. So I should hate Ipswich, but I don't.
Yeah, it's just unlikely they'll be in the same division next season.
It is unlikely.
But they could be. And
exactly.
That's why we keep
watching. I
don't
think you're going to get relegated now.
You can hear more about that game in the title race generally over on our fellow Stack Show Second Tier, which covers all things Championship football. They were reminiscing about the time Mick McCarthy shouted fuck off at the Ipswich fans when his own Ipswich team scored a goal against Norwich.
That was amazing.
Back in the day.
That was amazing.
It does happen. It does happen. Now, speaking of good football men, Neil Warnock has announced his retirement for a second time. He had expressed his interest in the Plymouth Argyle job after they sacked their previous manager.
Down the road, isn't it? Just down the road.
Surely that's the one.
I wonder if the owners of Plymouth thought, I'm not quite sure he's got the right attitude for this.
Yeah. He's sort of farewell tour, which Aberdeen fell foul of. So they quickly hired their director of football as interim boss instead. Just get somebody in the post so he goes away. But Neil Warnock said, I would have helped them, but not now. It's all done and dusted now. I look forward to going round some of the islands in Scotland. I've got some bucket lists now. And that is... Aberdeen were on his bucket list by the sounds of it.
I mean, I don't want to kind of have a go at an old man, but I am going to.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff he said coming out of Aberdeen was, I thought, a little bit fucking odd. Mm. Like he was talking about, it's all data these days, isn't it? It's all this and it's all that.
But he seemed to kind of be...
But he knew what he was getting himself into.
But he seemed to be quite understanding of when they parted company. He said, they've got to get someone in long term. I understand that. And he seemed... despite, you know, the sort of...
But do you remember when he started talking about how he's never won a cup, so he'd like to win a cup?
Yeah,
that's
so
why he was there.
That's what I mean. So it was a bit disrespectful to a big club.
The whole thing felt like a retired man who kept taking jobs, like, as a hobby.
Yeah.
And, you know,
like,
any club deserves better than that, let's be honest.
When my granddad retired, he got bored really quick. And so he went and got a job at the local supermarket, fruit and veg section, right? And he was so into it that he raised the standard of the fruit and veg section so high.
Love it.
That all the Saturday kids were just like fuming. They didn't want everything to be in like perfectly aligned order and everything be like, and
so be like a jumble.
People were kicking off. And I think it's a bit like that. Maybe Neil's just a bit too kind of old school for it.
An old school disruptor.
Yeah.
Who's Neil in this scenario? Because it sounds like... I don't think Warnock's gone in and sort and done a better job and raised standards.
No, but I'm just saying old people have got set in their ways things of doing stuff, haven't they?
No, but your granddad like made things better.
He was really into it. I suppose Neil wasn't into it, I guess, which is the argument.
He made things better in a very analogue way, though.
Yeah.
I see.
I don't think my granddad would have been interested in the data analysis of how many courgettes are being sold.
Yeah.
He just wanted to get it out there looking good.
Look, it's nice to hear about a family member of yours. I'm not sure the analogy works.
Fair enough. But
it is your Friday as well.
Thanks everyone.
Not at all.
If you get the Patreon, you don't have to listen to my analogies.
Yeah,
they're all taken out.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, from one terrorist to another, we have to talk about the very strange Wikipedia page that's been doing the rounds on X.
Used to be Twitter, didn't it?
I can't remember.
One of the social medias.
I can't remember that far back. It's the page of a Peruvian midfielder who plays in the Peruvian top flight for Union Comercio. His name.
The top flight player. He's a top flight professional player.
Look, we've seen some kind of, I say slightly odd, so noticeable would be a better word.
What, Danger Fourpence?
That, like that O'Brien penis. No, the players who are named after players in the game.
So Maicon Douglas.
Maicon Douglas or like Neyskin Scabano.
Lionel Messi.
Yeah. But like something like, say like the former football player like Neyskin Scabano. Like Neyskin's is clearly a surname. It's been sort of crowbarred in.
A great Dutch player. Yeah,
but it's been crowbarred in one sense. But in another sense, yeah, okay, kind of like
that.
It's
quite
that.
A cool name.
But it's very noticeable when you see something like that.
What's this Peruvian player called?
Osama Bin Laden.
Also because... V's are B's in Spanish.
Well, they're similar.
So
they're not quite. Similar,
so they're not so quite. Hence, like, it is as direct a correlation as you're going to get.
It's just
I
as well.
This was a hoax.
But Jim, just as well there's a confusion with the V and the B.
Sure. Oi,
Jim, do you want to hear what his brother's name is?
Go on.
It genuinely is Saddam Hussein. That's not a joke. It's not a joke, everybody. It's absolutely.
Do you know the rest of the story is apparently his father planned on naming his third child George Bush
for balance
because he had a daughter.
Georgina. Was that for balance, do you think?
I guess
I've gone heavy anti-America here.
Yeah.
I've got to balance it up somehow.
Yeah. It just seems like a very rogue move.
It's utterly... I can't find the words. Bin Laden said of his unusual name. That's his name! But it's not his full name.
You must get asked about it all the time.
It's not his full name, but it's a big chunk of his name. It's a part of his name that can't be avoided.
What's his full name? His full name is Osama Bin Laden Jimenez Lopez, isn't it?
Yeah. I honestly, if I was him, I'd be calling myself Jimenez Lopez. But there we are. That's just me, Jim.
Yeah.
That was Queer as Folk.
You just want a quiet life, don't you?
Just a quiet one. Yeah. That's why I've got a microphone in front of my face. So Bin Laden said of his unusual name, there is a person called Hitler, also in Peru. I mean, I know there was chat about
it. Sound like they sort of hang out.
Yeah.
he should, a strange name club.
He should clarify that a bit more because, you know, people did accuse them of escaping to South America. he said, Jesus saved the world and there are Jesuses who do harm. Because there is an Osama who killed people, I don't think there has to be a law about the name. It draws a lot of attention from what I see.
Yeah.
This is a strange response to that, though, isn't it?
Mm.
Essentially, I haven't killed anyone.
Yeah. His parents were burdened with that.
What are you talking about?
I'll just change my name.
Yeah.
You go. I mean, you have to. Anyway, look, in news that will absolutely delight them, the segue now is to the Ramblacker with Betfair. Sorry, they'll be absolutely... delighted with that.
Yeah.
The football season is approaching its exciting conclusion with Betfair, and if you're looking to get involved in all the action, then look no further. Betfair have made it faster and easier to build your acca this football season. thanks to Betfair's 90-minute payout. Last night, over 5,000 bets on Man United to win were paid out because they were leading at 90 minutes, so they lost the game.
Mm.
But if you bet on them to win, you still would have won because the goals that Chelsea scored came in injury time, and the Match Odds 90 market means you still get paid. Lovely stuff. We're back again today to build another acre of our four Match Odds 90 bets from across the Premier League. Marcus, you are up first.
I've gone for Wolves to beat West Ham. I think they've got it in them. And yeah. I think Wolves, they've not won in their last two. They're due a win, and I fancy them.
Okay. Jim?
I've gone for Everton to beat Burnley. I think that that run of that winless run is daft at this point and is more likely to come to an end than not. Home advantage is big. I back Everton, the bald frauds.
Okay, Wolves and Everton to win so far. It was only three of us today, so we asked Vish to do a pick, and he had this to say.
With all the confidence of a man who's not in the studio, I would like to go for a draw in Manchester United, Liverpool. And I don't need to say any more than that.
Sounds like an older member of your family trying to use a voice note for the first time, doesn't it? But a draw between Man United and Liverpool, Old Trafford, is a vicious selection. My pick is Fulham to beat Newcastle at the Cottage.
Ooh.
I thought Marcus was very, very persuasive when I asked him what I should pick, and he said there's no way Fulham won't win. And I think Fulham do some of their best work at home, and they do it against kind of big name teams.
Mm.
And Newcastle are big enough to really inspire them, I think, but not good enough to stop them. Mm. So that's why I think Fulham will win. Wolves, Everton, both to win. Fulham to win, but also Manchester United and Liverpool to draw. A £10 bet with that on Betfair returns £295.41. We were so close last week.
I
let us down last week and need to put it right. If we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. And between us, we've already raised £750 this season. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their Match Odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for our Ramblacker every week. Exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begamblerware.org.
Now it's time for something completely this.
Here we go, Marcus. Come on.
An encyclopedia.
I don't know what that means.
Here we go. Jack's Encyclopedia. It's the runaway leader, Marcus, against Luke Moore. Former lineal champion, now just a regular bloke. How are we feeling?
If Vish is listening to this, whatever happens today, tell him I'm coming for him.
Yeah.
Tell him that Luke, I've got the nation behind
me. Tell
him
yourself.
I'm going to fucking hunt him down his dreams until he gets back into this studio.
It's Freddy Krueger.
It's going to be like the T-Rex approaching that car in Jurassic Park. It's going to be a bloodbath next time he steps in this studio with me. I'm going to haunt his dreams, occupy his nightmares.
The type of man he is, that'll scare him. He won't come back. Yeah. Be careful.
I'm coming for you, Vish.
Mm-hmm.
So if I lose to that, I'm going to sound stupid now, I know, but that's basically how I feel about it.
Well, if you end up winning, then I think people will realise I've thrown the game, so yeah. All bases covered.
If you are new to Jack's Encyclopedia, that's arrogance is normal from Marcus.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I will play Gary Neville's Orgasm, and that will leave Marcus and Luke 7 seconds in which to get in their answers. Vish ended the Luke Nation's reign last week.
We'll be back, Nation, don't worry.
Yeah, you'll be back. So, Marcus, I'm going to have you go first.
Come on.
No, that's fair. What difference does it make?
Last week, I had to go second with a fucking Arsenal-themed question.
You were the champ last week.
Mm.
I've been the champ for ages, remember, because you've been so good.
It's arbitrary, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Okay. Give us a category.
Give me the top 15 penalty scorers in Premier League history.
Surely Harry Kane.
Got to be.
Oh, no. Oof,
As if he's not going to be in there.
Yeah, well, I just
Jim's just playing with you.
This is not that easy.
No, it's not. Jesus. Jamie Vardy.
Jamie Vardy is there.
David Unsworth.
Very good.
Oh, that is
quick out the blocks.
Don't just throw that away.
Unzi's there.
That's a very
good
one.
Very good. Maybe have you gone early on Unzi though? Who knows? It's not for me to say, is it?
I didn't have anything else, Jim.
How about your friend and mine, and I'm inspired to do this by Marcus because he went a little bit rogue. Mark Noble?
Yeah. That's nice.
Very good.
Yeah. Nice.
Because I just felt like he played for a long time. So.
He did play for a long time. Alan Shearer.
He's of course there.
Yeah, why didn't I say him?
It's nice when you stumble on an obvious one.
Yeah. Teddy Sheringham.
Teddy Sheringham is there.
Oh, like
good.
It.
It was like a good it. One, Teddy.
Ready, steady, Teddy. James Milner.
James Milner. Not there.
So I've got a guess one.
Big chance for you, Luke.
He did score a lot, but not enough. It would
not
appear.
Enough.
Low-hanging fruit, this, but I think it's solid. Frank Lampard?
Oh, yes, yes. Well played.
Number two on the list. Yeah. So Luke wins that point.
Can I give you another rogue one I was going to say?
I was going to say Julian Dix.
Nice. Would that be... I was going to go Luka Milivojevic because he used to score all of them.
And you would have been right.
Wow, well
so
played.
The other ones you're missing are Steven Gerrard, Sergio Aguero...
Rooney.
Leighton Baines, Rooney, Salah, Thierry Henry, and probably the best player on this list, Matt Letizia.
Oh, I wouldn't have said him out of principle. I'd rather have lost a point.
That's poor. There are a lot of guessable ones there, but fair play.
Good Luke to have Bainesy in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, second category. Luke, you are up first on this one, as is fair. The 10 most used players by each of Sir Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger, and I want to clarify, this is at any club. So, Wenger's most popular 10 and Ferguson's most popular 10. There are 20 answers.
In their whole careers?
In their whole careers.
So, it's 20 because there's 10 each?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Jesus, why? That's a rogue one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Peter Schmeichel.
Correct.
Paul Scholes.
Also correct.
Yeah, bugger off if that's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Giggs.
Ryan Giggs is, of course, there.
Gary Neville.
Gary Neville, you say. Correct.
We're leaning heavily into Ferguson there.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Pallister.
Gary Pallister is also correct. Very good.
Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, of course he's there.
The tickly bum man himself, Steve Bruce.
Brucey is there.
Have we got all Man United? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got mostly. 7 United ones so far.
Dennis Irwin.
Dennis Irwin is correct.
Yes! Well done.
Good one.
Well done, mate. I'm struggling for United players now. I'm gonna have to flip it. Thierry Henry.
Is correct.
Patrick Vieira.
Patrick Vieira is also correct.
Marcus is excellent.
Very good game so far. Going
to
need an answer.
Just trying to hear players who play all the time. Bakary Sagna?
Correct.
Bloody hell.
Very, well very good.
I'm fucking struggling big time now.
Yeah, I am as well.
So does he needs Marcus to get one, doesn't he?
He does.
Freddie Ljungberg.
Freddie Ljungberg is correct.
Oh, you bastard. Right, the only one I've got is a rogue one. It's Torres! Fucking hell! The only one I can think of is Claude Puel, who's a famous player all the time for Benga.
Massive, yeah. Massive. Claude Puel, former Southampton boss, Claude Puel. That is exceptional.
He was the protege.
I'm devastated.
Luke Morgan, I think if he was Charlie and I joked about you getting this before you've actually done it.
If he wins on that, I've got to hold my hands up.
I've broken his heart. I've broken his spirit. He can't come back.
You're going to have to get a move on.
Robert Pires.
Oh, the Luke Nation.
Yeah, fair play.
Oh, no. Luke Moore.
That's the best answer since David Icke.
Come on. I've got to give him that. I have to give him that. Who else did we miss?
You could have had Dennis Bergkamp, Emmanuel Petit, Jean-Luc Couturier, Kolo Touré, Lauren Koscielny, and Rio Ferdinand.
Oh, Ferdinand, yeah.
Who's the one in the middle?
Very,
I've never
very
heard
good.
Of him.
Jean-Luc Couturier played for Monaco a lot, obviously, yeah. As did Claude Puel.
Alongside Claude Puel.
And Thierry Henry. I want to miss one out there. Brian McClair. Lovely to hear his name.
I can't win at this game anymore. I'm the old Luke Moore.
The Puel shout is he was like famous as his protege, wasn't he? Mm. Like he was the guy. So I just thought, worth a punt.
Incredible. So, mate, I'll tell you what, I've got to hand it to you.
It's 2-0, mate.
2-0, easy peasy.
It's open for Tushin Hantharaja was listening to this. Because I'll tell you what, he should be shaking in his boots. The first one could have gone either way. To be fair,
mate, you won it.
Got it done.
I can't win anymore at this game. It was great while it lasted. It's great while it lasted.
It's a bit, I'm dedicating that win to the whole nation who've been behind me. The nation have had a tough week because I got beat. And everyone, it's easy to get behind someone when they're winning. Mm. They've stuck by me when I've lost. I'm back on the horse again now and we're going again.
Fair play to you, pal. Well, look, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Do join us tomorrow for the mailbag where we're answering your questions. Follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble and follow us on Spotify. Luke, you get to pick the song for everybody to march through the gate to the weekend because the keys have opened the door, or the gate rather, and it's there.
Before I do that, I just want to let you know there is some really well worth checking out all the stuff on X. It's some brilliant stuff.
Amazing,
on there.
Amazing.
Fantastic stuff on there. I think this week, Marcus, to open the weekend, I think I'll go with a bit of Pitbull.
Yeah?
Yeah.
anything specific or just it's all good?
It's, we take your pick, get on yourself on Spotify and hit shuffle.
Yeah.
But if you can, find your way to Don't Stop the Party.
Ah,
that's what I'd go for.
That is a good
and
one.
And then straight into Fireball.
Mm.
And repeat those two songs all weekend till Monday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about I Know You Want Me?
I Know You Want Me. That is a clap. I forgot about that one. That's a Claude Puel of a bit of Pitbull songs.
Oh, thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pitbull. We'll see you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.